Hare Krishna, everyone. Once again, happy Ekadasi. Welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today, we are very fortunate to have His Grace Sanatan Dharma Prabhu to enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 6th canto, 4th chapter, 7th verse. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you so much, Prabhu, for joining and giving your valuable time and attention this morning. And we missed last week, right? I mean, 1 week you were not there and we missed your association, Prabhuji. I would like to hand over the call to Raj Prabhu for the brief introduction before we dive into the nectarian class.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dhanu Pranam to you and all the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Guru and Gauranga. Hare Krishna Sanatana Dhanu Prabhu, Dhanu Pranam. We all missed you as Mataji said last week. But you were so kind to send another speaker too. So this is how much you love us, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. So there is a very brief introduction for Prabhuji. His Grace Sanatan Dharam Prabhuji is a brahmachari from ISKCON Pune. Prabhuji is disciple of His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj and has been practicing Krishna consciousness for about 20 years. Prabhuji is a B.Tech graduate from NIT Trichy and has worked as a senior manager with Tata Motors in the past. Prabhuji currently serves as an area management and project development head for the Pune region. He's counselor, youth and corporate preacher, congregation preacher, secretary at Voice organization, and also a remote mentor for NVCC Pune Temple. Prabhuji recently has also been allotted so many duties to preach outside in America. I'm sure Prabhuji was saying in one of the classes, we should update this. Later Prabhuji will guide us. And Prabhuji knows and preaches in many languages, including English, Hindi, Tamil, Malayalam, Bengali, Marathi, Telugu, and Japanese. Hari Bol. And dear devotees, there is a request from our speaker, dear speaker Prabhuji, to switch on the cameras if possible, if times and place allows. So please switch on your camera so Prabhuji can give us the sweet Krishna Katha. Hare Krishna. Over to you, Mataji. Dhanva Pranam. Hare Vah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, without further ado, we would like to hear your sweet kirtan. Yeah, I think you are ready for kirtan. Please bol.
Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Varadari Yashoda Nandana Gaja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Radha Kunja Bihari, Radha Kunja Bihari, Radha Kunja Bihari, Radhe. Jai Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Shri Shri Gaura Nitai. Jai Jagannatha Jaya. Baladeva Subhadra Mai Jaya Sudarshana Prabhupada Prabhupada प्रभुपाद जय श्रील प्रभुपाद जय जय गुरुदेव जय श्रील गुरुदेव नित्य गौर हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौर हरि बोल। कलयुग पावन श्री नाम संकीर्तन यज्ञ की जय। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। नित्याय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजन शलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात देश तारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधोभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं श्रीचैतन्यमीश्वरं परमानंदमाधवं। हरे कृष्ण डियर डिवोटीस, वेरी वेरी हैप्पी टू बी विथ ऑल ऑफ यू। आई हैड टेकन अ स्मॉल ब्रेक बिकॉज ऑफ बीइंग इन श्री वृंदावन धाम एंड श्री मायापुर धाम, सो आई हैड गॉन टू धाम एंड प्रेड फॉर ऑल द डिवोटीस even in Bhakti Sangha Japa group. So I request, the first prayer that I offered the Lordship is that let all devotees please turn on the videos. They will keep the videos on. The rest is all assured. If devotees come, then there is abundance of blessings and we can have very wonderful, ecstatic, amazing Krishna Katha. So that is the first prayer that I offered. Devotees should turn on the videos. All right. So now I'm happy to see some of you turning on. So we are here in Canto 6, which is called by many acharyas to cover the topic of Poshanam. Poshanam refers to how Krishna beautifully protects his devotees. And we just completed a section of Krishna protecting Ajamila. Krishna protected Ajamila in the form of his holy name. Mriyamano Harir Nama Grinan Putropacharitam. Ajamilopi agaddhama kim uta shraddaya granan. So here is Ajamil who was addressing his son. He was not calling the Lord. Here is Ajamil. Lifelong he never chanted the name, but towards the end of his life, towards the fag end of his life, he calls out for Krishna and Krishna is there. Krishna is there. And then Ajamil even lacked one quality, and that is a quality of faith. He did not have sufficient faith in the holy name. However, he chanted the holy name purely, as in he never intended that the holy name should cover up for the offenses and the mistakes and the sins that he committed. So thus his holy name chanting was pure. But still, we find that Krishna beautifully protected Ajamila by sending the Vishnu Dutas, and that was Ajamilopakhyanam. That section is complete. And now we are moving towards another section. Three chapters of Ajamil. This three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, will focus on yet another devotee, yes, another long awaited devotee of Krishna. His name is Daksha. Yes, he is also a devotee. Daksha. Now the moment you hear Daksha, you remember many, many things. Oh, he is the one who offended Shiva. He is the one who was a son of Brahma, who was too proud and puffed up because of multiple yajnas. Prabhu, we heard about in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam. Prabhu, goat head. So all these different thoughts come into our mind as soon as we hear this word Daksha. Correct? Daksha. Yes, in the previous This is the second birth of Daksha. This is not the first birth. This is second birth. Now, who would like to live with a goat head? So he had to give up that body. Correct? Nobody would like to live with a goat head. It's an insult. It's utter humiliation to live with a goat head. Right? So he quit his body and he came as the Daksha, the two. Now, in historians, normally they name the person like that, right? There's Chandragupta I, Chandragupta II. Yes. There's Elizabeth I, Elizabeth II. That's how the historians name the person. So this is Daksha II, not one. Mm. Right, whom we are talking. But he's the same person who is reincarnated.
Mm.
Wow. I'm getting very nice personal reciprocation from all of you. But anyways, not everybody may enjoy it. So I request devotees to please keep your microphones on. But yes, your ears open. Microphones switch off. And you can definitely reciprocate with your microphone switched off. The Paramatma in my heart will communicate everything to me. Don't worry. Wow. Bhakti Sangha and Japa devotees are so personal. I get personal reciprocation. Very nice. Okay. So let me just set the context and we'll go to today's sloka. So here, why is this section being discussed at all? Why at all Daksha? Because he was left behind, correct? Because Daksha did appear. There was a hint. Because towards the fag end of the description of Dhruva Maharaj dynasty, correct? We hear about Prachetas. Remember them? The 10 Prachetas, correct? So the 10 Prachetas, they performed austerities and they got the darshan of the lordships. And this particular section begins from there. Correct? This section begins from that portion. Now, in the fifth canto, there was description of the descendants of Priyavrat Maharaj, the elder brother of Uttanapad. So now, what exactly is Visarga? Sarga means the creation that is performed by Lord himself. That is called Sarga. And Visarga is the creation which is performed by Brahma and other Prajapatis. How this universe got populated? So Sarga means the creation of this universe and Visarga means how this universe became populated. That's called Visarga. These are the first two subject matters of Bhagavatam. So when there was description of this Visarga Srishti, so Devahuti's dynasty is described, Swayambhu Manu. Manu means Manushya, man. Correct? The human beings came from Swayambhu Manu. Not only human beings, later on you will find out that everybody came from Swayambhu Manu. Yes, ultimately everybody comes from him. So Swayambhu Manu Shatarupa had 5 children. Devahuti, Akuti, Prasuti. 3 daughters, their lineage was discussed. And then there was discussion of Uttanapad, the father of Dhruva Maharaj, his lineage. The fifth canto contains the description of the descendants of Priyavrat Maharaj. Of course, Priyavrat was the eldest actually, but he had gone for the renounced order. And then he was brought back in action when the entire lineage, Narad Muni, delivered everybody from Dhruva Maharaj dynasty. Except one person. And that person is Daksha. Yes, he was not. Because Daksha took break from management. As soon as he came, everyone came to him. Prabhu, Prabhuji, Prabhuji, come for service, come for seva. He said, no, I've done enough management, enough service. I need sadhana break. So I need to take a break. So he took break for almost, he appeared in the fag end of Swayambhu Manvantara. Swayambhu Manu is the first Manvantara. Yes, he was the first Manu. So then Priyavrat Maharaj's children became the second, third, fourth, fifth Manu. Yes. And the Chakshusha Manvantara, that is when Daksha says, I will come back to management. I'll come back in action. Till then, 5 Manvantaras, please don't disturb me. D and D. Do not disturb. I will be doing my tapasya, my sadhana. So he took a break. And then he comes back now. So he's going to be, before he's going to come into action, it's very important. How did he come into being? Yes, before he coming into action, it's important. So if you want to know how was Daksha born in first place, you need to know what happened to Prachetas after they came out of water, after they got the darshans of Lord Narayan. What happened after that? So we are discussing that section. So previously, those of you who have been following up with this section, you will be knowing what happened. But those of you who weren't there, for the benefit of others, I would like to say what happened. So the Prachetas, they come out of water. Chakshusha Manvantara, Daksha returns. Yes, he comes back. Daksha returns. That's what happens. He comes back to management. So, just reminded me of a joke. There was a movie long time back. Sorry, Bhagavatam class, but what to do? Got reminded. Anita Mataji's comment. So there was a movie called Mummy. Correct, Mummy. Now this Mummy is not the mom. The mummified mummy. And the second sequel was Mummy Returns. So similarly, Daksha is actually Prajapati. So he's daddy. So here is Daddy Returns. Prajapati coming back. So that was Mummy Returns. This is Daddy Returns. Sorry for this Prajalpa. I'm sorry, I'll come back. Yes. So what is the speciality of this section? Is that this goes on to give you the lineage and what happens to Daksha. This section contains very special prayers. Special prayers. Many of them believe that Hamsabhuya prayers is recited by Daksha. Sorry, he recited it, but they are not composed by Daksha. They were already available in the Vedic literature. Right? And being satisfied with the Hamsabhuya prayers, Lord Vishnu appears in 800 forms. So these are very special prayers which are about to come in this particular chapter. That is the crux of this chapter, Hamsabhuya prayers. And that's what is the title also. Now, what is another thing very famous about Daksha? What is Daksha? I'll explain what is Manvantara in the end. Because many of them may know. So basic question, I'll come back to it at the end. So Daksha means one who is expert at sex life. Yeah, specifically in sex life, to produce children. That is why he was empowered as Prajapati. So Daksha is a person who is produced. Now, we may ask here in the question, who is your father? What is the name of your father? What's the name of your mother? Now, many of them may write your father's name, mother's name. Now, if you ask a devotee, how many mothers do you have? A devotee may try to be very smart and say, I have seven mothers. I know, I have studied the scriptures. I have studied Prabhupada books. My own mother, Brahman Patni, that is also a wife of a Brahmana. The queen is my mother. Yes, Guru's wife is my mother. The earth is my mother. Nurse is my mother. And cow is my mother. Correct. But can anybody have more than one father? Yes. Okay, you may consider somebody to be father. You may say Krishna had two fathers, yes. But Daksha is a person with 10 fathers. Yeah. All 10 prachetas with their semen, which they then they united with Marisha, the daughter of Premlocha and Kandu Maharshi. That's how Daksha is produced. He has 10 fathers. Special person, right? 10 fathers. And he is going to be father for how many? You're going to see. First batch, 10,000. Second batch, 1,000. Then finally, 60 daughters. So, very good story coming up. So, Bhagavatam sometimes can make your head spin. One guy having 10 fathers? My God. It's too much to handle. Yes, that's what is Srimad Bhagavatam. It presents very interesting, intriguing, exciting pastimes and stories which can really make your head spin. Correct? So, Daksha is a person with 10 fathers. So, we are going to hear his prayers. So, coming back to the section. Where now what has happened is the prachetas, after having darshan, they come out. And they come out at that particular point of time. They observe that there are trees everywhere. All around there are trees. Now, what is the meaning of these trees overgrowing everywhere? The trees overgrown everywhere means mismanagement. Yes, there has been no leader, or even if there was a leader, the leader is not properly managed. That's what is trees, which are, they are not actually the fruit, useful trees. They are weeds that have grown everywhere. Actually the weeds. Of course, Prabhupada writes in this creation, nothing is useless. Everything is having a utility. Even the weeds can be properly used as manures in order to increase the yield of production. If properly understood, nothing is useless in this creation, but the weeds grow. And as the weeds grow, the prachetas get very angry and upset. Yes, they get very, very angry. What is this? The weeds are growing. So what they do, they emit fire from their mouth. Now they have performed austerities for 10,000 years under water. They have got a lot of yogic siddhis and powers. So they burn all these weeds with the fire that emanates from their mouth. Now why are they burning? Yes, why are they burning? This burning of with the fire indicates an anger which has come out. Yes, anger. You may say, why? And normally if you observe, how many of you observed, or we might have watched some TV series and serials wherein the sadhus are usually very angry. They're very angry people, bloodshot eyes. And they immediately, the first thing that comes out from sadhus' mouth is a curse. I'll curse you. They take the water, sacred water and throw on the face and they curse the person. Yes, we have seen that. Now, I also used to have this question. But why do these sages, they all are doing a lot of, they're supposed to be calm, cool and collected. Why do they get angry so much? Yes, the sages get angry because Rudra, yes, Rudra gets 11 places to stay. Yes, Rudra or Shiva stays in 11 places. And the 11th place, which contains the residence of Rudra, is austerities, tapasya. So somebody is performing austerities, has to be careful because that person may be subjected to anger also. We see the example of Dhruva Maharaj. Of course, Dhruva Maharaj is a person who is directed personally by the Supreme Personality of Godhead from within his heart. He is dictated. But he also exhibits disproportionate anger while dealing with the yakshas as a result of austerity. So austerity means we have to be careful. Of course, a devotee, when he performs those austerities which are very dear to the Lord, of course, he will not get anger. He will develop compassion, actually. Titekshaya karunaya. That is the quality of a devotee, tolerant and compassionate. But when somebody develops, like Dhruva Samuni, who performs so many austerities, he would get angry immediately and spell out a curse. And most of the sages you find who are not devotees in the Bhagavatam, they are known for cursing. More than blessing, they are known for giving curses. And that's why people would fear. In the Niti Shastra, sadhus are compared to fire. Yeah. The Smriti Shastras say that you should stay away from four things. Stay away from fire. Because anytime the fire can just jump onto your dress and cause you burns. It may even engulf you completely and burn you down. The second thing that Niti Shastras say is to stay away from waters. Because the water may look calm externally, but it may contain very deadly creatures within who might eat you, who may feed on you. Like crocodiles, alligators, they might be there inside waiting for you. They may be singing, Mahaprasade Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave. They may be singing their prayers, Mahaprasade prayers. It may happen. The third thing, you should be careful of is king. Yes, why? Because the king can do anything. He's independent. He's Samrat, he's Swarat. So he can any time give any order. Come on, get me 10 gulab jamuns. You say, today is Ekadashi Guru. Prabhu, that's it, you're finished. If the king is disappointed, he can even hang you till death. He can do that. Come on, hang him. Finished. I don't like any kind of, my order has to be followed. It's in Marathi, there's a saying which is called Padta Fadachi Agnya, which means before the fruit falls down from the tree to the ground, you're supposed to execute the instruction. Otherwise, you'll be executed. You execute the instruction or else you will be executed in front of everyone. That's why king is very dangerous. So avoid staying too close to a king. The fourth one is staying too close to sadhu. Sadhu, or because if you disappoint, you displease, it becomes an offense. You have to be careful. Yes, you have to be very careful. So the sadhu are mostly known because the austerities, when they perform, when they are practiced without an element of bhakti. Yes, without, you're a jnani, you're a yogi, without any element, sufficient element of bhakti. If it's not done for the pleasure of Supreme Lord, then such kind of austerities may even lead to anger. So we should be very careful. Are the austerities that we are doing in line with the Shastras? Are the austerities that we are doing, are they pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, to Gurudev, to our spiritual authorities, to the Supreme Lord? We should check. We should not just perform Shushka Vairagya. Yes, just mundane kind of austerity, which has no spiritual benefit. So we should be careful. That is why they were burning down everything. Yes. So now, coming to the shloka, can you display the shloka for me? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Daivim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayet. Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavatyuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati nishtiki Vishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Jai. Raj Prabhu, your timing is amazing. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 4th chapter, text number 7. I have to take 7, right? Yeah, thank you. Nadrume Bhyo Mahabhaga Dine Bhyo Drobdu Martha Vivaradhya Vivaradha Yishavoyuyam Prajanam Patayasmritaha. Can some devotee kindly read the translation for me?
Oh, greatly for Hare Krishna. Go ahead, Mother. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Prabhu.
Oh, greatly fortunate ones, you should not kill these poor trees by burning them to ashes. Your duty is to wish the citizens, prajas, all prosperity and to act as their protectors. Hare Krishna.
Tiffany Mataji, you can read the purport.
Hare Krishna. It is indicated herein that the government or king has the duty of protecting not only the human beings, but all other living entities, including animals, trees, and plants. No living entity should be killed unnecessarily. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you. So when purport is less, there's a lot of homework for the preacher to do. Hare Krishna. So we have good amount of stuff to discuss. We'll definitely try to discuss. And yes, towards the end, there is a special katha for all of you. If many more devotees turn on videos, then I may consider. And this is not Gaur katha. This is Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj katha. Yes. Haribol. Something special coming up. So please keep your videos on and keep your spirit super on. Okay. So now what is mentioned in the sloka is something very amazing. So who has come when the trees were all burning? Soma. Soma is the deity of the moon. Yes. And the deity of the moon is responsible for the various vegetations and plants on the earth, because he is the one who gives juices to them. And that's how there is a lot of taste that we have. We have six types of taste, right? So basis on that, six types of taste. The tastes are six, but we can have so many preparations. How many varieties of sweets can we have? Oh, we cannot count. Countless, unlimited. How many varieties of spicy items can we have? Unlimited. So this is all happening because there is Somadev who is providing juices to all these varieties of vegetables and fruits, etc., to the plants. That's how we are getting the six types of tastes, and we are getting different varieties of prasad. So he comes down, and out of his compassion, he begins to counsel the prachitas. Yes. And his counseling is so amazing. The way he is addressing them, he calls them Mahabhaga. He's calling them, you greatly fortunate ones. You're Mahabhaga. You're so fortunate. That's how he addresses. Now, if you see, this is the tone that is picked up by anybody who is wanting to counsel. We hear even in the fourth canto how Swayambhu Manu, he is the one who counsels Dhruva Maharaj very beautifully when Dhruva Maharaj exhibits excessive anger. I'm comparing both because here also there is a devotee who has seen the Supreme Lord and later on exhibits disproportionate anger. In the similar lines, the prachitas also exhibit a disproportionate anger because of that's what evokes the presence of Soma. He comes there. And he's even the same words are used by even Swayambhu Manu. The counseling style is very similar. So great souls think alike. So he calls them Mahabhaga. You're very fortunate. You got the personal audience of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What else is the greatest fortune? In one of the contexts, there's a discussion between Brahma and Lord Narayan. Lord Krishna, you can call it. Call him Krishna only. He is Krishna. They both have a conversation. And that time Krishna is so pleased with the austerities of Brahma. He personally comes, he gives him a handshake. And he asks him, what benediction do you want? But he tells him, before you can ask for a benediction, let me tell you that the greatest benediction that you can ever ask is my darshan, which I already got. Yes. So they are Mahabhaga because they got the personal darshan of Supreme Lord. What else is there? So the second thing that he presents, the point number two, first thing is to encourage them, you're Mahabhagas. The second thing that he does, he tells them that the action that you're performing is inappropriate. You should not kill these poor trees by burning them to ashes. This is not the proper action. This is wrong. And number three, he tells them what to do. So he's telling them, educating them properly. First, he's telling them their position, and he's telling them the mistake. Then he's telling them their expectation. This is, and so Bhagavatam teaches us beautiful ways to even counsel. How many of you are counselors or mentors of devotees? Now, this is a very, very fine art that we can learn from Bhagavatam. Yes, very fine art, how we can learn how to counsel. Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna beautifully counsels Arjuna. So here, Soma is playing the role of a superior, a counselor, and is coming forth and telling them their position. You're greatly fortunate. Please remember your great fortune. So similarly, all of us, we too should remember our great fortune. Our great fortune of being connected to Srila Prabhupada. Our great fortune of being connected to a servant of Srila Prabhupada by being his disciple. Our great fortune of being connected to this international Krishna, Shri Krishna consciousness movement, Society for Krishna Consciousness. Our great fortune of being connected to the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Guru, Shishya, Parampara. Our great fortune of being connected to Bhakti, Sangha, Japa group. So this is something that we should always be conscious of. Our great fortune. So remember, count your blessings. Be grateful. And number two is something which we need to accept. What is akarya? There is something called tasmat shastram pramanamte karya akarya vyavasthito. Basis scriptures, two things are taught. Karya and akarya. Karya means your prescribed duty, and akarya means the forbidden activities. Correct? And we should get knowledge of both. Understanding both is important. What one should do and what one ought not to do. Getting knowledge of both is very, very essential. That is when a person is said to be learned. If one has half knowledge, the person is not learned. Yes, the person is half learned. So that is why Prabhupada would always emphasize in his teachings, he will tell two things. He will tell everybody, yes, you should chant Hare Krishna. At the same time, he would also educate everybody. You are supposed to refrain from these four activities. No gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no meat eating. Yes, his teachings would be balanced. What to do, what not to do. That's how a preacher also should preach Krishna consciousness, by teaching people what to do, what not to do. That is a good preacher, good teacher. And that's how you represent the Shastras. So he has told, and what are you supposed to do? Your duty is what? Your duty is to actually wish. You're supposed to be well-wisher for everybody. And even if you look at Kshatriyas, now these Prachetas, although they've done the activity of penance and meditation, their role in the Varnashram is to be a Kshatriya. Yes? And a Kshatriya is a person who's supposed to do three things. Number one, the first thing that a Kshatriya is supposed to do is protection. You can remember this acronym PAW. P-A-W. PAW, right? PAW. So protection. The protection of each and every citizen is your duty. Correct? It's your duty. So the citizens are called as Praja. And Praja is not just human beings. Or Praja is not those who live within your boundaries. Praja is every single living entity in 8.4 million species of life. All are Praja for the king. And that's how the king is supposed to deal. And how should he deal with the Praja? The beautiful example that Bhagavatam gives of is Prahlad Maharaj. Yes? He would deal with Praja as Pitruvat Dina Vatsalaha. He would deal with Praja in such a way that he assumed the role of a father. And that's how the king is supposed to represent the Praja. As the father of the society. The father of everybody. Correct? That is the role. So you're supposed to protect. Number two, you're supposed to do administration. Yes, I very well understand that something has gone wrong in the administration. But do not do administration at the cost of protection. Administration means to ensure the Varnashram is going very well. Prabhupada writes that if a country is not able to produce its own food grains, that is mismanagement of resources. You're not able, you're mismanaged people. There's no proper management. So that is also the duty of the king, to ensure that we are producing enough for the citizens to get their food. For all the citizens to get their food. Correct? Everybody. So that is also called administration. Ensure the Brahmanas are doing the preaching activity. Preaching is going on very well. Yes, Brahmana should be preaching, Brahmana should be doing the yajnas, Brahmana should be reciting the mantras, Brahmana should be educating people, Brahmana should be reciting scriptures. Yes, that is worshipping deities in temple. Very well taken care. Very good. The Kshatriyas, are the other Kshatriyas properly doing the duty of punishing the miscreants, collecting taxes, all these things? That is administration. Vaishyas, are they doing Krishi Goraksha Vanijam? Are they doing agriculture? Are they protecting cows? Are they doing business properly? And Shudras, are all the Shudras properly engaged in serving the other classes? So this is what is administration, to ensure Varnashram Dharma is properly followed. And welfare, yes, welfare. Welfare means, now here, the welfare refers to not just Bhavaya, but Shemaya. Bhavaya means material welfare. Okay, to ensure that there is all departments. You have, people, nowadays there is multi-purpose departments. There's pottery going on. There is a weapons industry going on very well. There's cloth mill going, running properly. This is material welfare. Food, clothing and shelter is ensured. But along with that, Shemaya means welfare, means the spiritual welfare. Are all the citizens becoming Krishna conscious? So this is the duty of a Kshatriya. Correct? So that is what we understand. And perfect. You will find Gaya Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, at all they, when they did this protection, administration, welfare, every citizen had only one goal. And that goal is to go back home to Godhead. Nothing else. They were not interested in anything. So when all the citizens have this only goal, to go back home, back to Godhead. Oh, that is when the king is said to be a Raja Rishi. Yes, he's a Raja Rishi. He's ruling like a Rishi. He's not ruling like a dictator. Correct? So that is a success. Somehow, when we come to ISKCON, when in the beginning days, people ask you, what is your goal? So people say, yes, to go back home, back to Godhead. But somehow this goal changes over the years. Very fast. We become senior, this goal changes. And back to Godhead. That we have, people assume that anyway we are going to go. I have already boarded the ship back to Godhead. What is the big deal now? We have to be very clear. That is why Prabhupada took out Back to Godhead magazine every monthly edition to remind every one of us regularly. What is the goal? Back to Godhead. Look at the magazine. Back to Godhead. Correct? That is what is the goal. Very clear. So this goal should not be diminished. Correct? So that is the duty of Kshatriyas, to take care of Praja. A very important line that is mentioned here in the purport is, no living entity should be killed unnecessarily. So once what happened, Srila Prabhupada, one of his disciples was serving in kitchen. He observed that there were so many rats in kitchen. So he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, these rats should be killed. Prabhupada said, you should be killed. Yes, it is you who should be killed. You are not keeping the kitchen clean. That is why rats are coming. How dare you tell, that rat should be killed? You have no right to kill the rat. Have you given birth to the rat? You have no right to kill. Yes, that's what he would hear. That you should be killed, man. So you should be very careful. Another time what happened was, Srila Prabhupada was in South Africa. And South Africa is known for a lot of mosquitoes. How many of you faced mosquitoes? Everyone, right? Thank you. I thought I was the only one. I have a very nice technology called four dots technology. One of my students, he suggested this four dots. It contains a lemongrass and eucalyptus solution. You just apply 1, 2, 3, 4. Your northwest, east, south, these four places you apply, the mosquitoes don't come near you. It works for 12 hours. So I put that, four dots, 1, 2, 3, 4. So point is, yeah, we deal with mosquitoes. So Prabhupada was giving Bhagavatam class. And Bhagavatam class, some mosquitoes were biting. Even after Kirtan, they are all clapping. What is this? So there, Prabhupada, they are not clapping for Kirtan. They are killing mosquitoes. Prabhupada said, don't do this. Clapping in Kirtan is good. That will shoo away the birds of sinful activities. Yeah, you clap in the Kirtan. Yes, what happens? Number one, you're shooing away the birds. Sinful activities are compared to birds. You're shooing them away. You clap near a bird, the bird runs away. Number two, yes, there is palmistry, a science to read your palm, right? So when you clap in Kirtan, this is all going to be changed. Yeah, it's all going to be changed. Useless. Don't study it. It's constantly going to be changed. So keep clapping in Kirtans. Correct? And third thing, the materialists say, when you keep clapping, you get free proteins. Yes, yes, we need a lot of proteins to serve Prabhupada's mission. So clap, no problem. So that's why we clap in Kirtans. But we don't clap to kill creatures. Some people use bats. My God, that was dangerous. Bats also. Electric bats to kill creatures. Yes, so what to do, Prabhuji, but such creatures, they trouble. So there are multiple non-violent things there present in our... So you take neem leaves and cow dung, mix it and just put it around your premises. There won't be any mosquitoes. They do it in Mayapur, they do it in Vrindavan, they do it in Pune, many places. And other kinds of pests. Yes, other kinds of pests. I'm not promoting this brand, but this is a machine which has certain frequency. Mosquitoes, flies, cockroaches, lizards, rats. It's mentioned here. So cross. They will not come. They're repelled by the sound vibration. It's a non-violent way of doing it. So I always plug it in. So there are a lot of ways non-available by which we don't cause violence and kill these poor creatures, because they're actually, it is we who have intruded their place. We have intruded their place. Human beings have intruded the place, excavated, and you're occupying their place. And all they're trying to do is they're trying to coexist. Correct? For mosquitoes, raise the hand. Sorry, do not worry. Mosquitoes is taken care of. Recently, there was a news that in India, one of the states, very, very, very sad thing. There are cases where dogs have bitten children. Yes, children go out to play. The parents are not vigilant. So dogs have bitten and killed children to death. There were some cases which were on the rise. So one of the states, what they did, they killed dogs in mass scale. They killed all of them. So this such kind of inhuman and ghastly activities are the result. This is what are the consequences of such activities is that the Prakriti will show all varieties of Adi Bhautik Klesh, Adi Daivik Klesh, earthquakes, famines, floods, hailstorms, and all varieties of winds, heavy winds blowing. All these reason is Prakriti is upset with the human beings. You're not treated because Shiva and Parvati, they are the father and mother of this, all the bodies. We have received our material bodies from them. So they're parents of all the 8.4 million species. So we have to take care. We don't do such kind of thing. We have no rights to do such unnecessary killing. No, we can't do that. And special protection should be given to 5 people, children, the old, the women, the brahmanas, and the cows. But today, unfortunately, we see that there are mass scale killing of cows. People open slaughterhouses to kill cows. It's so very, very alarming. In fact, if there is no cow, Prabhupada says, if there is no cow protection, there is no human civilization. Because human civilization needs to subsist on cow milk. When we drink cow milk, you get brain, Prabhupada says. Yes, you get brain development. When that brain development happens, you will be able to have some spiritual inquiries. You will be able to understand the scriptures. Otherwise, you will not be able to understand anything. You can't understand shastras. You cannot understand scriptures without the blessings of mother cow. But here, the cow is being slaughtered and killed. Why? Because the modern agents of Kali and Maya, they want to slaughter the spiritual existence of everybody. That is why this kind of killing is going on. So no living entity should be unnecessarily killed. No. We have no rights to do that. It's the Supreme Lord who has given life, and every living entity is undergoing their particular karmic reaction, and we have absolutely no rights to disturb all this, the nature's arrangement. Then one may ask a question, who can be killed? Yes, who can be killed? So number one, so there's a question, okay, Prabhuji, why are these cows being affected by lumpy virus? That is because of we meddling with nature. It's all because of human beings meddling with nature. Yes, Krishna's arrangement is perfect. It is we who are disturbing everything. It's man's greed who is disturbing everything. If you see the ultimate root cause, it is man's greed. Correct? What about people who follow veganism? They don't take any animal products due to... we need to understand that veganism is the result of extreme torture towards animals. That's how they come to this veganism. Yes, they will not understand. First, that's what you need to understand. The cow is taken care. properly. You need to explain to them that cow gives enough milk not only for its calf, it has milk even for the excess, more than that. And that milk is not taken out. We don't take out the milk, then cow, it's harmful for the cow. So cow is mother of the entire society. She has given milk for not only her calves, she gives milk even to the human beings. That is actually the symbiotic relationship between cow and human being. So we have to tell. Yes, but when the cows were harmed, they were tortured, they were injected with various medicines. That is when this veganism came. It was the torture cause. That's what greed, human greed. So lumpy virus, etc. is also a root cause of human greed ultimately. Meddling with nature and thus mother cow being affected. So who can be killed? So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains, rather Prabhupada explains in the purport that there are six types of aggressors. They can be killed even by ordinary man, Shastras say. Of course, today we cannot do it. We can't take laws in our own hands. But actually, there are six types of aggressors. A person who gives poison, number one. The person who gives poison, yes, such a person is an aggressor. Number two, who's setting fire to others' house, is an aggressor. Number three, one who's attacking with deadly weapons. Nuclear weapons, deadly weapons. Yes. Number four, one who plunders riches. Who plunders riches, who is looting, he loots others. Number five, one who illegally occupies others' land can be killed. And number six, one who kidnaps others' wives or is molesting women and exploiting the other weaklings of the society. Yes, such a person should be immediately killed. And there is absolutely no sin in killing these people as per Shastras. But of course, in modern day scenario, we have to respect the laws which have been put forward by the government. We cannot do that. But Kshatriyas especially are supposed to take action and kill these aggressors. These aggressors are meant to be killed. Now suppose somebody is performing adharma. If you see the scriptures, an adharmi, if other than the six, he is not following dharma, such a person is punished but not killed. Yes. And if a person is committing, nowadays what is happening is a person commits a murder, that person is given lifelong sentence. He's not killed. Rather, he's told to be in the jail. Lifelong imprisonment. That is not correct. That's not correct. Because by killing that person, the person is in fact being saved from very ghastly hellish punishments by the king. So that is why the Vedic laws were perfect. Who is meant to be killed, who is not to be killed, they were all very, very perfectly laid down. But what has happened today is man has created his own laws, or the state has created their own laws. Whatever we like, we will follow. No, that is why it is very important to read Manusmriti. Prabhuji, is mercy killing of dogs sinful too? If the dog is old and suffering from an old age, incurable disease, have we given life? Then we cannot take life. Very simple. It's a simple formula that Prabhupada taught. There was one man very eager to eat flesh. So Prabhupada was teaching him. So very compassionately he was teaching him. See, my dear son, we sow the seeds, and because we grow the seeds and they turn into plants and fruits, you can eat them. No, but I want to eat meat. I said, come on, you don't grow them. You are not the one who's producing them. How can you eat? No, but I want to eat meat. You want to eat meat? Then cut your child and eat. After that, the fellow kept quiet. That's the only meat you can eat. It was a very heavy conversation between Prabhupada and that person. Correct? So, adharmis were also punished. Now, when you talk about animals, there are a lot of quotes. One of the quotes is, Modeta sadhu rapi vrischika sarpa hatya. Vrischika means a scorpion and sarpa means a snake. When they are killed, even a sadhu is happy. That's what they say. So, these are the two creatures whom we can kill. So, once my spiritual master was asked the question, can we kill snake if we see? So, Maharaj immediately asked a counter question. Is your heart free from envy? Is your heart free from envy? If yes, then you can. At least at that point of time. You're not enviously killing. You have to kill because you have to protect. Again, for protection purpose. Then that is fine. Otherwise, no, not fair. So what should Vaishnavas do? Prabhupada's clear statement, Vaishnavas should never try to kill anybody by action of the body or the mind also. Prabhupada said, even in the mind, one should not think of killing anybody. No. sometimes management, I'll kill you. It may happen. no speech. It's not to speak, not to be speaking. Prabhu, I'll kill you, Prabhu. No, what? You're calling Prabhu and you're telling, I'll kill you. What is this? It's not even the mind one should think, Prabhupada says, that of killing somebody. But we should just have one dilemma. That is, you should try to revive the Krishna consciousness out of compassion. That's how we should feel. That is the only feeling. And that's what Nityananda Prabhu told Gaurang Mahaprabhu. Gaurang Mahaprabhu said, Chakra, Chakra. He's about to kill Jagayan mother. That Nityananda Prabhu said, this avatar is not for killing. Yes, this is not for killing. In fact, this is for killing the inner asuras. Antara asura. Through the khadaga. Tikshna khadaga of the holy name, Harinama. The sharp sword of Harinam will kill all the internal asuras. Your avatar is meant for that. Then what should one kill? What should one kill? Yes, one should kill something. A Vaishnava is supposed to kill one thing. What is that? One word. This is not spoken by me. It's spoken by an acharya. False ego. That's the only thing meant to be killed for Vaishnavas. And killing of false ego is something which Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur met His Divine Grace Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, His spiritual master, whose disappearance day we are celebrating today. Yes. Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Mute Vipralambara Sambode Padam Bujayate Namaha. Seeking His blessings, I would like to speak something about Him. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the first time I saw Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, my false ego was destroyed. Of course, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is a great pure Acharya, who is a ray of Vishnu. How can he have false ego? But what he's saying, anybody who would take proper darshan of this sadhu, this false ego would become immediately destroyed. Such was the demeanor, such was the persona of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj would be a very, very immediate, intimate associate of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur and Gaur Kishore Das Maharaj, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj would be very, very intimate associates. And seeing Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when like our Srila Prabhupada was asked, what do you want to say about your spiritual master? And Prabhupada would say, what can I tell about my spiritual master? He's a Vaikuntha man. Similarly, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked by his disciples, what would you like to tell about Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj? And he would say that upon having the darshan of, that's the first statement I made, false ego. The second statement is, upon seeing a Vaishnava like Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, I understood that one can be of an impeccable character in this horrible material world only by being a Vaishnava. That was his immediate realization. Only by being such an exemplary Vaishnava can I be a person of a perfect character in this material world. So he was born in Bangladesh in a district called Faridpur, which is situated at the banks of the very famous river Padma, the Padma River. See, many Acharya's places are in Bangladesh today. And his father was Vamsi Das, and he was a grain broker by business. So as soon as Gaur Kishore Das Babaji grew up, he was immediately married, and he stayed in married life for 29 years, performing his business of broker business. And after 29 years, his wife left her body. And wife left her body, he went and took Babaji initiation from Sri Bhagwat Das Babaji Maharaj. Now this Sri Bhagwat Das Babaji Maharaj is a disciple of Sri Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. Yes, so he got Babaji initiation. Babaji initiation means nothing to give and take with this world, simply take care of your bhajan, that's all. And after receiving this initiation, next 30 years, he simply traveled in different parts of Vrindavan and the different pilgrimage places in North India. And he became very, very renowned and famous for no sense gratification, no nonsense, and only sadhana, bhajan. So thus he got the title as Bhajana Anandi. Bhajana Anandi means one who develops great, immense joy and pleasure in performing one's sadhana and bhajan. Pure bhajan, no nonsense. In the year 1897, that was the year when Bhaktivinoda Thakur had seeken the blessings and the association of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj brought him to Navdeep, and that was the time when Yogapeet was revealed to the world. Iho Nimayara Janmastan. This is the birthplace of Nimai. And the subsequent year, the immediate year, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj came from Vrindavan to Mayapur. That is the year he came, in 1898. The way in which Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj lived was, he had nothing. He just had neck beads, tulsi beads to chant, and he would have two books with him. One book is Prarthana of Narottam Das Thakur, and the second one is also Narottam Das Thakur's Prema Bhakti Chandrika. Seeing his intense love and devotion, once a person had asked and said, Babaji Maharaj, what is the price that I have to pay to get Krishna Prem? And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj said, 10 paisa. Huh? 10 paisa, that's it? Yeah. Give 10 paisa, go to the market and purchase Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika by Narottam Das Thakur. He had full faith that keep reciting these bhajans. You keep singing these bhajans and you will develop pure Krishna Bhakti. You will become a pure devotee of Lord just by reciting these bhajans. So he would have these copies of bhajan which he would hang in a piece of cloth. No personal cloth. He would go to the river banks and those pieces of cloth which are rejected by people, he would take it and he would wear it. That's it. This is why he's called Avadhut. Avadhuta means externally a nirapeksha. Nothing got to give and take with this material world. Of course, we cannot live this lifestyle while being in an organization, a preaching movement. We start living like this, we will do disservice to the society rather than service to Prabhupada. It will be disservice. But this shows that he had nothing to give and take with this material world. Even his cooking. He would take some rice. He would take Ganges water. He would take some pepper that is available. He would put it. And where he would cook, he would get some pot. Some earthen pots would be rejected by people. He would wash it nicely in Ganges and accept it. And he would cook. He would take the offering. He would just close his eyes and offer it to Krishna lovingly. Krishna will accept. And then he will accept. That is how simply he lived. Right? So, he would come regularly to Swananda Sukhada Kunja. What is Swananda Sukhada Kunja? That is the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where I really had the, it's in Gurdum Dweep. That is where I had the fortune to go recently. I did go there just a few days back. I was there. So Swananda Seva Kunj is the place where Bhaktivinoda Thakur in the evenings, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. would give Bhagavatam class. It matches with our Bhakti Sanjapa timing. Little bit at least, 3 to 5 over here. In the Indian time, I'm telling you, Indian time. So 3 to 5 would be giving class. And Bhagavatam and Babaji Maharaj would sit and intensely with devotion, with tears in his eyes, he would relish the class and he would hear. And then he would leave. And many times Bhaktivinoda Thakur would offer him prasad. Sometimes he would accept. Sometimes he would just leave. Because he never liked to accept service from anybody. He didn't like to. He didn't want. This is what he was known for. He would not take service from any Vaishnava or any person. He would not want to cause any inconvenience to anybody. Anybody want to serve him? No. Immediately would run away from that place. Yes, that's what he would do. Yes. Upon seeing his lifestyle, devotees remembered one acharya. Who is that? Raghunath Das Goswami. For the kind of vairagya that he performed. That is why, what is the Pranati mantra? Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murte. Personification of austerities. Yes. And he was known like a person who would expose the cheaters. Somebody is a cheater. Cheater Babaji, nonsense. He would expose them immediately. He would not keep quiet. He would speak the truth. He would not do Vaishnava Ninda. But what he would be doing is he would expose off these people. He's not, don't follow this person. He's not genuine. He would clearly know because he was connected to Paramatma. He would know this. And when he came from Vrindavan to Mayapur, that time he wore a tiger skin cap. He had a basket containing ropes. Now, what are these ropes? He would chant on beads and sometimes he would, what he had done, he had put different knots on the ropes and he would keep chanting on the ropes. He would count on the ropes also. So he had ropes. He had a tilak stamp. It was having this initial of Hare Krishna initial stamp. And all these things he had received from Sri Bhagavat Das Babaji Maharaj, his spiritual master. And later on, he hands them over to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Yes. In 1898, as soon as he came to Navadvip, he became again very, very famous. Many of them would want to go near Babaji Maharaj. Babaji Maharaj, please give us instruction. Babaji Maharaj, give us blessing like this. To avoid this botheration, he started going to the latrines and chanting. My God, who would go there? That to Indian latrines. Abroad, yes, abroad, everything is nice. In US, latrines and washrooms, they call it restrooms. People literally go and rest there. But Indian restrooms, you just have to go with doors closed, finish your business and get out as soon as possible. But he would go there and chant in order to avoid the unnecessary botherations of other people. Yes. And later on, when he left the place, it was found that even the bricks would be chanting Hare Krishna. So he could make even the bricks, such a pure chanting could make the bricks chant Hare Krishna. Mahamantra. So we know that how Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj had a back and forth sweet rasa. Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur would go, please give me initiation. He would say, I'm not qualified. He said, please give me, okay, I'll ask Krishna. Okay. He would ask, did you meet Krishna? I would say, yes, I met Krishna. Did you ask for initiation? Oh, that I forgot to ask. Then what would you do? Okay, I'll ask Gauranga. Say, okay, fine. You would come back. Did you meet Gauranga? He said, yeah, I met Gauranga. I spoke many things. Did you talk about my initiation? No, I did not talk about that. Right. So like that. And finally, when Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur said, I'm going to go and drown myself in the Ganges, that is when he goes and gives him initiation. And 1900 is the year when he gave him initiation. And he lived a very, very pure life. The time is up. I'll just try to wind up in a minute or two. In 1908, he lost his eyesight. Yes. So that's a divine arrangement of Lord. He lost his eyesight and both Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur urged him, please go to Calcutta and get your eyes all right. Please go. He said, no, I will not go to that material universe. He called Calcutta as material universe. I will not go to this material universe. I want to be in Vrindavan. I want to be in Mayapur. So I would like not, I will not go there. One of his famous bhajans that he would keep singing is Gaurapahu. Na bhajiya menu, Gorapahu, na bhajiya menu. So he would sing that bhajan so nicely. And there are many, many pastimes associated with him. Once Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to take association of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Now, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj coming to take association of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, okay. But when he's my Shiksha Guru, how can he come and take my association? No, I will not go. So much so happened that he went into the house of a prostitute. Bhaktivinoda Thakur will not come here to avoid Bhaktivinoda Thakur taking his association like that. My God. So this is all Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra Vinaya Mujaya. We cannot understand all these pastimes, but we need to understand. We can't understand. This is what happened. If you see, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj was so attached to Shravanam that he would sit behind Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's classes. Yes, he would sit behind the classes and he would listen. And he would tell the back bench, you know who is he? He's my Prabhu. Of course, he's Das. He would not go in the front because if he goes in the front, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would feel embarrassed. So he would sit behind, he would put a shawl nicely, he would hide himself and he would relish the Bhagavatam that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would speak. He would attend the lectures of his disciples. Now, if you see externally speaking, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, externally speaking, was a person who couldn't even sign his name, illiterate. And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was the most educated person available on the planet at that point of time, who had his vocabulary much more than even Shakespeare. The Britishers would run away listening to his English. That profoundly learned he was. And he was very well read in Shastras also. But when he couldn't understand something, he would go to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and ask him doubts from the scriptures. Very difficult, complicated, technical subject matters. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj would ask Krishna as Paramatma in his heart and immediately give the answer. Krishna told me, this is the answer. Please go ahead. So that much he was connected. So much he is connected to Paramatma. So from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj disappearance day, today on Ekadashi, he would do Nirjal Ekadashi. He would not accept anything on Ekadashi. He would do Nirjal without even a single drop of water. He would do intense sadhana on Ekadashi. And on this Deva, there is a Deva Shaini Ekadashi when the Lord sleeps. And after 4 months, he wakes up. That is Deva Uthana Ekadashi. He wakes up. The Lord is up now. So that's called Uthana Ekadashi. He's up now. So on this Ekadashi, the world lost the association of such a Mahabhagavat pure devotee who came to simply, we might see that he must have not done big preaching. No. But what he has done is with his pure spiritual vibrations, sound vibrations, he has delivered so many living entities. He has inspired so many Vaishnavas. He gave us a gem like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And most importantly, he led a very perfect example of renunciation. And what else he taught, majority of his life was in Vipralamba Rasambode. The loving feelings of separation, feeling separation from Radha and Krishna, that particular bhava was the bhava that he always carried in his heart. And in that mood, he chanted the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I'd like to conclude here. Thank you all very much. Shri Gaur Kishoradas Babaji Maharaj ki jai. Jagat Guru Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Granthrashtra Bhagavatam ki
jai. Thank you so much, Prabhu. What an amazing class, Prabhu. You started explaining so nicely about what we are reading in the chapter, of course. And then you talked about Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. Thank you so much. That was so nice and beautiful to listen. Prabhu, you were saying, just a question comes to my mind. Very seems like a stupid question, but my curiosity. So you were saying Sarga is, you know, how the universe is created, like by Lord, and Visarga is populated. So we are doing this Visarga too in a certain sense, Prabhu, because we human beings are populating. So I just
okay that way. See, we need to understand that population of universe doesn't mean just carrying on the ancestry. Yes, to one degree we are. When somebody accepts the grihastha ashram, the person is also accepting the responsibility to carry on the population. But Visarga is much deeper responsibility. That is why they would perform a lot, because you have to produce the brahmanas, you have to produce kshatriyas, vaishyas, shudras, birds, animals, the visena, the 8 points for the trees, all of this is a big responsibility. So that is Visarga, the original species. That is basically Visarga.
And then
they're taking forward the population. Yeah.
Okay. And then you were saying about Daksha, and most of us are in Daksha mentality. You know, we go for sense gratification when we don't know the Krishna consciousness. So I was thinking, most of us, after being in touch with Vaishnavas, Srila Prabhupada, our life changes. But before that, life is completely different. So, yeah, very beautiful class, Prabhu. Prabhu, another question comes into my mind. You know, many times we kill mosquitoes. We do that sometime because they are so annoying many times. And mosquito does bring us dengue. But then the episode of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came into my mind when he ordered to kill the snake, and then Prabhupada was, you know, little bewildered. How can my Sri Guru Maharaj?
I quoted that also in the class.
Yes. You later quoted, yes.
Yes,
five people can be killed. Yeah.
So Prabhupada read that, then he became peaceful. Yes. That snake, he told him to kill, because of course, Bhakti. I gave you the explanation by my spiritual master also. He said, you can kill provided you are not having envy in heart. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has no envy in heart. So he can order to kill that snake. And what bewildered Prabhupada is, he was feeling happy. He was very pleased seeing the snake dead. So then Prabhupada found this quote from Prahlad Maharaj's prayers to Narasimha.
Okay, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, also later we will take the question. You remember in the chat box, somebody asked about Man Mantra, but we'll go there later. And later also we have questions from YouTube live today. I will read that later. But we will right away go to our dear Sukhakara Krishna Prabhu. Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dhanva Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Nathan Dhanva Prabhu. The classes are so engrossed. Today I didn't get the singing, no. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I was waiting for that. You give some nice beginning, no? That was not there today. Missed it. Sankirtan, you start in a fantastic way.
Thank you.
So you told about the machine. I'm also very scared of cockroach and lizard. Can the machine name, can you give me? I want to buy. You've shown some machine, no?
Hmm.
I don't want to kill, but I want to.
I put it in the chat.
Okay. One more question. Now, I met one naturopathy doctor because my weight has increased, being an auditor and also Prasadam eating. It has gone to 93 kilos. I went to Vrindavan for last 1 week, from 89 to 93, 4 kilos more. So the naturopathy doctor, he said, we can do it, but three things to be stopped. One is milk and milk products. I got shocked. Milk and milk products. And then he told TRP, all those packed food, biscuits and all. Third one, he said, pizza, pasta and all. I said, I can leave that, but milk, how can we leave? Krishna, but he's telling, Krishna took only butter, no, butter thief, not milk. And he said, milk, why it is bad? Because people are just misusing the cows. They're taking the milk, taking the blood, and they're doing such a wrong thing, and you're drinking that, like that he told. Nowadays, the milk which we get, they're all sinful food. And by that, people get some other gallbladder problem and all. So avoid drinking milk. So I wanted your view.
Yes. So personally, we take milk in our ashram, and I also suggest devotees, the milk that comes from places where devotees are properly taking care of cows. So we have that facility. If you don't have that facility, then better not to take.
Yeah, that's what. So I wanted to clarify because we can't get
every because time we don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. So devotees' mercy, those who are doing the cow protection, from them we are getting. So we get milk from 16-rounder initiated devotee. From their place it comes. So we take only that. We don't take the packet stuff. Of course, the sweets and preparations, we do that on some festivals because that so much milk may not suffice. So for that practical reasons, remember that quantity of intake is very less. The regular consumption every day of milk, we take that only. We don't take anywhere else.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Sri Krishna Prabhu.
Thank you.
Beautiful questions. Thank you, Prabhu, for the answer. And our very senior devotee, His Grace Sureshwar Shyam Prabhuji, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam Prabhu. Thank you, Prabhu.
Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
So, Prabhuji, one question. This we clearly understand from our scriptures that moon gives juice to the vegetation, right, Prabhu? Fruits and vegetables. Like, is it proven in the scientific society that this is how it happens, Prabhu?
I couldn't get the middle part of your question.
Okay.
Let me check if my understanding of your question is right. It is very clear from the Vedic scriptures that moon is the one who nourishes the vegetation.
Yes.
Is it? Do we have a proof for this in modern science?
Yes.
Okay, I'll tell you. There is experiment performed. What they did is they took many vegetables and exposed them to artificial lights. And those vegetables and fruits had no taste. It's proven. They'll know their production will be nice, but the taste will be gone.
Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhu. One other follow-up question, Prabhu, what you were saying about Prachetas being angry, right, when they came out of the water. But they were chanting Rudra Gita, right, Prabhu, given by the devotee.
Correct.
Like, is there anger, like we should...
Anger is to simply teach us sadhakas that if you do... Shushka Vairagya. They are perfectly controlled by the Supreme Lord. This whole pastime has taken place so that Prachetas get married.
Okay.
Through Maharisha. That is the purpose of the pastime. So whenever such great souls, they perform any pastime like this, they apparently commit a mistake. They are directed by Paramatma in heart.
Yeah.
But lesson for us to be drawn is if we do too much austerity, we'll get angry.
Okay. Thank you very much.
That is lesson we have to take. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Dandavat.
Thank you, Sureshwar Shyam Prabhu. Thank you for amazing question.
So next time, we want your one kirtan, Prabhu, in the beginning. That's the request for next time.
We will have, Prabhu. We'll have proper kirtan. Today, actually, what has happened is, I just noticed my harmonium got a little bit dislocated. That's why I did not do the kirtan for you. Some problem with the harmonium. We'll get it rectified and we'll have very good kirtans.
Thank you,
Sukhakar Krishna Prabhu. Prabhuji, there is a question from YouTube Live. Vishal Nanda Prabhuji is asking, Prabhuji, Golok ke Sukh ke baare mein kuch bataein. So, Prabhuji, please explain a little bit of Golok Sukh.
Such kind of questions Prabhupada would say, Should I answer in Hindi or English?
English, good Prabhu.
I'll give it in English. Whenever you used to ask, what is the bliss of Golok, Prabhupada used to say, wait till you get there. That's all. This answer Prabhupada would give you. Wait till you get there. So rather than understanding what is Sukha in Golok, we should understand the process to go to Golok. Yes? Correct. Because all other theoretical, I can give you 100 quotes. But that is of no use till you experience. The taste of pudding is in its eating. So Prabhupada would say, wait till you get there for such kind of questions. I'm just following what Prabhupada told. I can give you, but that will be transgressing Prabhupada's answer. That's how I will not
tell. During chanting.
But I can tell you one thing. The happiness, this Rupa Goswami quotes in Bhakti Samson, the happiness of the entire material world. Of course, there's no happiness, nothing but happiness. Is compared to a small drop compared to Brahmananda, the pleasure found in the Brahman. And Brahmananda is compared to a tiny insignificant drop compared to the Goloka's pleasure, which is compared to a bottomless and shoreless ocean with no unlimited. That's the comparison. I hope this helps. Thank you.
And he has a second question too, Vishalananda Prabhuji. Prabhuji, sharir ke kasht hote hain, bukhar, sardat, etc. To Krishna kyu hone dete hain bhakt ko? So why people get different diseases by Krishna? So
his question is very simple. Why does adhyatmic klesh come in the life of devotee? Because bhakti, the symptom of bhakti is klesh agni. We should not experience anything. So why does? Because if we don't experience the misery of this material world, we will think shamsharo lagilo bhalo. We will be conveniently very happy. In happily ever after staying in this material world. So this is also very important that this kind of, and especially when this kind of diseases come, Krishna helps us to get out a bodily concept of life. It happens. We are not this body. We keep meditating. Number two, are what nonsense is this material body? This is sweating. This is, you have to go to the washroom. You have to vomit. We feel tired, fatigued. We have to sleep. Why such so many interruptions in my devotional service? Nonsense. I don't want any of this. Yes, thus we'll aspire for a spiritual body where we can have continuous, uninterrupted vision. Haituki apratihata. Apratihata is uninterrupted service to Lord. So that, when we'll develop that aspiration for this uninterrupted service? When we get this disease. Then we'll realize. Otherwise, we think when we are having especially a youthful body and such kind of a healthy body, then we think we are the controller, we are the enjoyer, we are the proprietor. But when this kind of experience comes, that is the time when a devotee gets to contemplate, I'm not the enjoyment. What enjoyment? What horrible body? Mucus coming out of nose. Cough coming out of the mouth. Yes. All varieties of vomit. Person is vomiting day and night. All varieties of abominable substance coming out. So that's when we get the reality of this body. So this is Krishna is giving us for getting detached from bodily concept and developing that helplessness, the mood of surrender. So that's a facility, great facility. It's a gift actually. Everybody who goes to Dham gets this gift. Yes, at least for a day. That's my experience. You go to Vrindavan Dham, you will definitely fall sick for a day at least. That's a facility to become surrendered, to be a beggar. Whatever little bit enjoying bhoga vritti is there is all remote. That's beautiful. But isn't that asking for, you know, liberation means asking for convenience. We are not asking for convenience. We are asking for service. Uninterrupted service. This fever, this material body is obstructing my devotional service. I'm not able to continuously serve you. I have to sleep. I have to eat. Yes, Raghunath Das Goswami would condemn himself when he had to drink 3 drops of buttermilk because that was an interruption in his bhajan. How many of us can do that? Got it? So it's not aversion to material body. It is aversion to the fact that my Thakurji's service got interrupted. My Lord's service got interrupted. So that fact is not, that he is not able to tolerate that interruption. He wants to do continuous service. That's the aspiration of pure devotee. Ahaituki apratihata. Without motivation and without interruption.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Prabhuji also, there was a
Manvantara?
Question from Dhanashri Mataji. Yes, Manvantara. And I want to thank our Vishal Nanda Prabhu for being on live and being asking questions online. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you. Manavantra from Dhanashri Mataji, yes.
Okay. So Manavantra is a regime or the ruling period of a Manu is called a Manavantra. And what is the period of it? It is 71 Chaturyugas. And what is one Chaturyuga? Satya, Treta, Dwapar, Kali Yuga. So Kali Yuga is 4,32,000 years. This is the duration of Kali Yuga. And Satya Yuga is 4 times Kali Yuga, Treta Yuga is 3 times Kali Yuga, Dwapar Yuga is twice Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga is 1. So 4 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1 is 10. So one Chaturyuga is 43,20,000 years. I hope my zeros are correct. So that many into 71, is that period is called a Manvantara. And like this, there are 14 Manus in one day of Brahma, in 1,000 cycles. Okay. Thank you all very much. Hari Hari.
Thank you so much, Prabhu. Thank you so much for coming after a couple of weeks. We've missed you, so please don't miss us. So don't let us miss you. Please come regularly to our call and enlighten all of us, Prabhu.
You know, last time I could have given a class. I just clarify, I could have given a class. But what happened was, I got my class, which Bhaktivedanta class, which was in morning, got shifted to evening. I can't miss that.
Oh, okay.
So if I don't hear my class and I give class, that is duplicity.
Yes,
I am supposed to hear. So that I got to know only one day before. And okay, we can't miss that. If we miss it, then we get... And my teacher is very strict.
No. We don't want that. Okay, Prabhuji.
With videos on. If your video is not on, he will remove you from the class. He's very strict. Wow. Yeah. Wow, you're saying wow. You have to be attentive. Right, so we have to be attentively present there. And if you are not come on time, he calls you. Because there are very few students, right? We get a call from fellow student. Prabhuji is calling you. So I can't afford to miss that. And if I'm speaking without hearing, then that is not proper etiquette. So I wanted to get nourished myself. So we arranged this grace Yogendra Prabhu instead.
This grace Yogendra Prabhu. Okay, thank you, Prabhu. Hari Bol, thanks for letting us know, Prabhu, how it works. So dear devotees, let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha kalpataru bhasha cha kripa sindhu vai vacha shikanam pavyo vaishnavo namo namah yantra shiva swagatam ki jay jagat guru shila prabhupada ji
sanatan dharma
bhakti sangha padi ho ki jay
aur bhakti
thank you so much
radhe radhe.